We've got a brand new year going, and what I love about January the most is the Winter Music Festival. When everybody's thinks that there's nothing to do, we have this beautiful event that comes up with great music, and we have two of the promoters and people instrumental in getting this going every year with me right now, Rachel Pearson and Ed Boland. Welcome, both of you. Happy New Year.
Thank you, Henry.
Happy New Year, George. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. So this is something that everybody, I think, waits for. Well, they don't really wait for. They get started, you know, gobbling up tickets in the previous year, don't they?
Indeed. When we get our bands signed, at least the major bands, and as soon as we get tickets on sale, we have people buying two-day passes.
Yeah. We tend to do an email blast out to everybody that we have had come to previous events, and that, you know, that oftentimes will knock out half of the available weekend passes. And we put those out first, and then we release the individual shows closer to October or so as we get closer to the dates.
So people can still go to all the shows, but because they didn't jump on it early, they've got to pay the price.
They pay the price, and both from a discount perspective and just from an individual ticket pricing perspective versus the weekend pass.
But Rachel, my understanding is that it's more than worth it, as it is every year. But this year, even the talent just keeps ramping up for the Winter Music Festival.
Well, our team, our music festival committee, performer selection committee is, I wouldn't say small. It's probably eight people who really get involved and care deeply about who we bring in. And we have some spirited discussions, and then we have to kind of ramp it down and zero in on the people that are affordable so that we don't have to have crazy ticket prices. Because even though our ticket prices have gone up a little bit this year, they're still, by any other standard, very, very inexpensive for what you're going to hear.
So talk a little bit about some of the performers now. Obviously, this is January 22nd through the 24th, and there's some things that are going on that are a little more private for the kids and everything, right?
Correct. It's the whole festival kicks off with the Kiwanis Kids Concerts, which they've been sponsoring for 8 years, and that is K through 5 in Florence, Mapleton, and a bunch of kids from Reedsport Highland Charter School. And then homeschoolers. So that is an amazing thing that we offer, our group offers free to the community.
Who are they going to be treated to this year?
Tony Furtado and Luke Price. Tony's the banjo master. Luke Price is a fiddle guy. They're both pretty darn funny. They were here last year and very popular, and we're having them back. And they're doing the kids.
Yeah. In fact, last year they did our OPB free concert prior to the actual Thursday night Take the Stage event.
Right. Oregon Pacific Bank has, for almost 8 years, sponsored a free concert in their lobby, which Tony Furtado was kind of, hey, I have played a liquor store before, but never a bank lobby. And we didn't provide him with any liquor, but he loved the bank because it has, that room has beautiful acoustics. If you bank there, you know it's a very capacious and welcoming place.
Yeah. Now, every year you have the Thursday night, I guess, jam session. What is it, Take the Stage?
Correct.
Right? That's going to be happening again this year?
It will, yes.
Okay. And tell me the format for that.
So with that, basically, it's we set aside some timeline of from 6 to 9 p.m., and we encourage people to get there early to sign up because we're going to have a limited number of spots that are available. And then we'll just basically ask them, we'll probably put them in order as to when they're going to get up on stage and perform. And we allow them to do one, maybe two tunes, try to keep it to
under how good they are, whether they get two.
Well, yeah, I mean, and the number of individuals that we may have that are going to try and fill the slot. So, you know, we try to limit it somewhere between 5 and 10 minutes on an individual performer's basis, or in sometimes there's duos or.
Right.
And we'll probably have somebody in the background in the event they need to have some additional talent with them.
Correct. Usually, often Kirk Malenik or Linda Levitt and Tom Neckville, who are Neckville banjos and Cascade bluegrass people, they will step in and help somebody play if they need a little backup. So that's really special because it's called a Take the Stage, Open Mic, Hoot Nanny, and it's all those things and more. It's a community event, and it's very low-key on the flat floor, two rooms, and just a tiny little stage, and the friendliest audience you've ever seen.
People that just there to love the music.
Yes. Many of them are going to be playing or have played but on that stage, but nobody shows up to, you know, throw Rotten Tomatoes.
No hecklers? No, that's good.
Well, you weren't there, so.
I have not had one yet.
Well, maybe if you want to be the token heckler, we
no,
can.
No, I don't want to be a heckler. Yeah. No. Yeah. I love music. I support it fully and from my heart and even in my own creative endeavors, too.
And an interesting point on that particular event is that we're actually bringing a band, Tuesday String Band, that is going to open for our Saturday afternoon show. And we found them through their last couple of appearances at the Thursday night Take the Stage, recognizing that they got better each year that we've seen them. And so we decided we're going to put them up on the big stage this year.
Well, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
They're having a growing following. They're starting to play bluegrass festivals around the state. And the thing that clinched it for us is after the workshop that the Hen House Prowlers did, they showed up and were jamming with them on the flat floor, and we couldn't get enough. So we said, I think they need to come back.
Yeah.
One thing I like about bluegrass, it can be at times very improvisational, almost like jazz, but, you know, with the more country Americana feel
right,
to that. And I love it when musicians can get together and they, you know, without any, like, bravado, they share the stage with others. Mm-hmm. You know, and give them a time to shine.
Yeah.
And that's certainly demonstrated throughout the course of the festival, through our workshops, when they get together, and oftentimes they're not only are they teaching, but they're engaging the audience in actual playing. And then, of course, the jam sessions that are going on throughout the whole length of the festival as well. And that's just, I mean, so inspirational, I think, for many of the fans that get to be part of that.
Well, there's a lot of us that are wannabe stage musicians that just never take that step, and I can really get excited about watching people that get up there and just do it so flawlessly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the key is it's all acoustic, but there's a microphone, so you don't have to, you know, shout across the flat floor. The other thing is, it is, as I said, very friendly, and you don't have to come for the whole thing. You can come for a few minutes and listen if you want, or if you just have a 30 minutes after supper if you're out in the town Thursday night. Free and open to the public, and no pressure to be nice to people. You can always leave if you don't like it. But so, I hope you'll come, because yes, I think you'd like it.
Yeah.
So Friday night, let's talk about the Friday lineup here. What
sure.
do we got going on Friday?
We are bringing back a band from last year, and that is Thunder and Rain. And it's a trio of women who just wowed the audience last year. And in fact, did they get up on stage with Hen House?
Delamay,
that's right. And it was just really, again, positive vibes all the way around. The audience was very receptive, so we thought, let's bring them back and let them kick this thing off.
Now, this says, is it they're part of the workshops?
Yeah.
Two as well?
Yes. Each of the, almost all of the performers are going to be doing a workshop to enhance their, enhance the program.
And then, so the workshops involve teaching others about their type of music or a certain instrument, or how does that?
All of the above. Yeah,
could be
songwriting, could be vocals, could be, you know, how to play the mandolin, you know, putting lyrics together. It's kind of, we leave it up to the artists to come with a subject that they think they can engage their audience.
Now, musicians obviously come from all different rolls of cloth. I don't know if that's a good metaphor or not. But you mentioned before we went on the air about Liam Purcell. Mm-hmm. He's sort of a, not in a negative way, sort of an in-your-face kind of player where he likes to engage
Correct.
Directly with the audience. Talk a little bit about him.
I call him an assertive player, and he is assertive in the best way, in that he wants to share his music, his talent, and everything with everyone that he can reach. And he's a young man. He's only 23. He's won awards as a teenager. He got through the Berklee School of Music, which I didn't realize that you went there for bluegrass, but he did. And he actually reached out to us 2 years ago and said, I really want to play your festival, which was impressive because I thought this. And he said, oh, but I'm in school right now. He was in college. He is bringing his Cane Mill Road Band, and they've been award winners, and they played at Wintergrass and several other major festivals. So he and his group will be something to listen to on Friday night that will really set the tone for the rest of the festival.
I was going to say, Rachel touched upon a theme that we've heard from a lot of artists after they've done the show, and that is they love coming to Florence, and they love the format and the environment that this particular music festival gives them. They don't get it in a lot of other places that they go to because there tend to be a lot more, maybe a lot more bands going on, or maybe a much more spread out venue. But they, like, for instance, as it back to Thunder and Rain, they were just thrilled to be able to come back here to Florence.
Yes.
Well, what's great about the Florence Event Center, it's very personal. Mm-hmm. You know, you're almost like directly interacting with the bands on stage.
There's not a bad seat in the house.
No, there's not a bad seat in the house. And acoustically, it's very good for that, too.
Yeah.
So Friday night, you got Thunder and Rain, then Liam Purcell and Cane Mill Road. Mm-hmm. Those tickets are how much?
$60 with fees.
$55
plus fees.
Okay, so Friday night is all-inclusive $61.
$61, okay.
Saturday afternoon, while I have the sheet out, is $51, and that's for three bands. And Saturday night, which is the heavy hitters, $72 for two bands.
All right, so let's talk about Saturday afternoon now. Mm-hmm. Who do we have lined up for Saturday afternoon?
So I mentioned the Tuesday String Band is going to open that. And then next up is Tony Furtado, who's coming back from last year as well. We mentioned that he played the...
Tony played the Saturday evening show last year.
Saturday afternoon.
Yeah. And then he did the bank as on Friday.
Yeah. So he's coming back and along with Luke Price. And then we have another band, Midnight 45. Rach?
Midnight 45 is an interesting new band with incredible veteran players in it. Dale and Suzanne Atkins, who are out of Bend, and they're well known in the bluegrass world of Oregon. Their son, Josh, was here last year. He also plays with True North Band, and he's kind of this multi-everything guy, and extremely modest, and just can play the socks off a bass. And then Jared Widman, who's got a high tenor voice, he joined that band, and he's not a family member, but he might as well be because they spend a lot of time together.
I notice a lot of tenors in bluegrass.
Yes. Yeah. Well, that harks back to the mountains and the yodeling and everything else. We don't have any yodelers this year, unfortunately. We got to get one of those.
I'm definitely familiar with the mountain sound, having lived 30 plus years down there in the South.
So, indeed.
Yeah, very familiar with that. All right, so Saturday night, we've got 7 o'clock and an 8:30. 7 o'clock is?
That's the Burnett Sisters, and that is a trio of...
Sisters,
and they honor the traditional bluegrass, old time country, and modern type folk. And she's backed by two guitar and banjo players, Gary Allens and Justin Alexander, and they have been referred to as one of the best bluegrass has to offer in the 21st century. So, really, we're looking forward to them. This will be their first time out here on the coast.
All right. Then finishing off the evening
is the incredible Authentic Unlimited, which is five men, and they were this last year's IBMA Vocal Group of the Year, which is a huge honor because when you think about bluegrass, most of it is clustered around vocals. There's not many people that just go out there and play their instruments solo by themselves. And they're a lot of fun to deal with on the phone, mm-hmm. and they've They're Southern. Yeah. So if you want Southern accents and jokes, you're going to...
Where are they out of?
There is, like a lot of bands, they don't live in the same town. I think they're based out of Georgia or Nashville. I can't remember.
Yeah, Georgia and Carolinas, I think, for the most part. Yeah.
But definitely, the Burnett Sisters are based out of Boone, North Carolina.
Love Boone.
Yeah.
You ever been to Boone?
I want to go now because I keep reading about it.
Boone is so so awesome. Yeah.
So Authentic Unlimited, they're actually going to come into a 90-minute set, which is very cool. Mm-hmm. This will be the first time we've actually engaged a band for that length of time. But we think they're good enough, and they feel like they're gonna put on a show to kill us, they said.
They're large people, so I'm not going to get in their way at all.
Okay.
Yeah. And then they're doing a workshop wonderfully on Saturday afternoon, vocal harmony. So that should be fantastic, even if you can't sing a note, like some people I know.
Right.
Or you like to sing in church, like me. Then you will get something out of that, and it might be life-changing.
Well, cool. All right, now, you said you may have more sponsors coming through, but if you want to mention a few of your premier sponsors at this time, because you couldn't do this festival without the help of some of these folks.
That's correct, yes.
Correct. I need to kick off with the Kiwanis Club, because they have been so wonderful to provide the sponsorship for the kids' concerts year after year, to make sure the kids in this town get free live music.
Yeah, we've got Sea Lion Caves coming back again as one of our premier sponsors. And how many years have they been doing this for us?
About 9 years.
And they're instrumental in our success, certainly there. We've got a couple of local lodging establishments that are going to help us. Holden Properties, which happens to manage both the Super 8 and the River House Inn. So they're helping us in kind through some accommodations, along with Whales Watch. Vacation Rentals is also doing some helping us with a couple of the bands. So
That helps a lot, because they give us performer lodging, so we don't have to worry about where they're staying and pay for it, because it does get, even in the winter season, it gets expensive.
Yeah. And then, of course, we got some individuals, Desiree and Mike Clifton. They came through again this year with a wonderful sponsorship, as they have in years past, and grateful for that. And then Ladies of the Elks Lodge itself, and Oregon OPB. Course.
And a big shout out to Bettina and the Chamber. Yeah. They give us every year a lot of video and other media coverage that we could never figure out ourselves or afford, even if we knew it was out there. So that's a big help with KEZI-9 digital and KEZI-9 everything.
Yeah. But then again, all the other media, like yourselves here at KCST and KRVM and KXCR, so it's all good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, thank you both. It's January 22nd through the 24th. 22nd will be the Kiwanis Club and a couple other events happening there.
And tickets at wintermusicfestival.org.
That's an easy way to get there.
Yeah.
One more thing I want to say. Okay. Everything here that we're doing is all live. So no AI. No fake stuff, no computer reverbs. It's all live on stage. No, well, that's why you go to a live concert.
Right.
And that's why you have radio stations to advertise them.
Yeah, absolutely. That
didn't mean to hurt your feelings.
We love live.
All right.
Well, thank you both.
Thanks very much, George.
Have a successful Winter Music Festival.
Thank you.
Coming up next on Our Town, it's been a while, but we're going to speak with Representative Boomer Wright. Find out what he's up to these days, and maybe even what's happening in Salem on the January edition of Our Town.